From Illinois Public Media, this is Focus. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. Our technical director, Jason Croft, the producer for the program, Harriet Williamson. And this morning, it's the first Friday of the month, so we open the phones and the email message folder for your questions and comments about dogs. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Robin Haggard are with us today. They raise Malamutes, and many of their dogs have been champions. They have a lot of experience with other breeds as well. They're both with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Listeners, if you'd like to join us this morning, give us a call. Join us by email. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have the toll-free number. That number, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. And the email address, will-talk@illinois.edu. Good to see the two of you. How are you?
Hi. Good.
You got here safe and sound?
Yeah, there's lightning strikes all about around us as we drove in.
Yes. And that gives me pause to remind our audience that a tornado watch is in effect until 6 p.m. this evening for the following counties in the WILL severe weather coverage area: Champaign, Coles, Douglas, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, and Vermilion. And then later today, it's going to become quite windy, so a wind advisory will go into effect at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and that will run until 8 p.m. this evening. So stay tuned to WILL for the latest on the weather. So how do the dogs react in this kind of situation? Are they pretty good?
Well, we have one dog that is sound shy. And
thunderstorm.
So, yeah, thunderstorms. And so we keep him in the house during these kinds of events. And he's happy to be there.
Yeah. Well, aren't we all happy to be inside today?
He's, we don't have to give him drugs for it or anything. As long as he's in his crate, he's a happy camper.
Yeah.
But our barn has a tin roof, and so when it rains, it sounds very loud in there. And so I think that's one reason why he gets funny about thunderstorms.
Yeah. You know, all these years I've had cats, and I've never had a cat that was shy of storms. And it's interesting because they're pretty skittish, you know, if you make a sudden move or something. But the weather doesn't seem to bother them.
I've never heard of a cat being storm shy. With dogs, a lot of people believe it has more to do with the barometric pressure changes. I know years ago we had a German Shepherd that if it got cloudy outside, she was outside, she'd break into the house to get inside. If she was inside, she'd break out of the house to get outside. So there was no pleasing her.
Yeah. At what time during their development does this behavior
come through? Because with her, it came late in life. She was about 3 years old when she developed that. It's not an uncommon problem in German Shepherds. In fact, in a lot of the herding breeds, it's more common than in some others. But usually somewhere when they're close to a year, with some breeds it might be a little younger, but usually it's around a year.
Any theories as to why herding dogs would be more affected?
I think there's a genetic component, and I think it's related to gun shyness that hunting breeds run into. Some dogs, hunting dogs, will react with involuntary shaking at a loud sound, like a shotgun firing, and those dogs are called gun shy. But it's not like they're afraid of the shots. For some reason, loud noise makes them tremble. So they look, from our point of view, they look like they're afraid. I think that can be inherited. The type of problem we're talking about, I know Robin suspected with the German Shepherd that she may have been hit by lightning or a lightning struck
close
to her. And so after that, she became frightened. Yeah.
I've seen it in so many Shepherds, though, over the years that it just seems to be a common problem in that breed. And as to why, as Jim says, I think there's probably a genetic component, and inbreeding of certain traits for good things may bring along some other things that you don't want.
Let's take a call. Want to put your headphones on? Let's take a call. This is a listener in Urbana on line one. Hi.
Hi. You had discussed about communications, verbal, whether how well they understand the verbal communications. And of course, some of it has to do with inflection or volume. But like if I would say to my dogs, walk, in a completely neutral verbiage, they would understand that right away. So they did. I do feel they do understand some separate words. Another, I think, what was an interesting aspect is one of my dogs liked to howl along when I would be playing guitar or listening to a radio and plunk along with it. And there was this one song with the Doors, Light My Fire, and he was guaranteed to start howling when that song came on. So one time it came on the radio, and I'm playing away, and he naturally jumps in and starts howling. And then after the song, I said, that's the Doors. And then the announcer came on just seconds later and said, the Doors. And then he kind of went, like, oh, I understand. That's who it was. You know?
Dogs can pick out from the cacophony around them specific words, and there are a couple border collies in Germany that apparently know vocabularies anywhere from 250 maybe to 1,000 words, but they're not action words or verbs. They're nouns and specifically identify a toy. So you can say barbell, and the dog will go and get the barbell. So I'm sure they can pick out individual words. We had a dog years ago that was like your dog would howl, but it was at a Leonard Cohen album. And I forgot the name of the song, but it begins, I lit a thin green candle to make you jealous of me. And at the end of the song, he starts going, la, 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 la. And our dog would just howl at that point. And just right on cue, we could always get him to howl.
It was his only trick. He was really a dumb dog.
He was not a dog that could pick out dumbbell from a lot of other words. He was a dumbbell.
Oh, a National Geographic had a recent article on dogs. I haven't read it. I've got the magazine, though. You might want to look it up. And there was one other instance I'm trying to think of. I can't even remember it now.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting situation how they can.
I think with the songs and the Doors and Leonard Cohen, there's a pitch that the dogs hear that we don't, and or we don't recognize. Dogs will howl in sympathy with each other. Wolves will howl in sympathy with each other. But we always notice that dogs howl when sirens are going by or something like that.
Oh, I have a picture of a man who taught his dog when he said Hitler to raise his right paw. I thought that was kind of cute. Well, that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call this morning. Yeah, we had that Weimaraner that we had when we were kids. My mother would send it in the morning around to us to wake us up, to get us up, and the dog knew each of us by name. So she'd say, go get Celeste.
Yeah.
I'd think, go get Kevin.
Yeah.
Go get Kevin.
Jump on him first.
That's right.
Well, so. the Lord of the Rings, we have the extended DVD, and we watch all the stuff about the making of, and they were talking about the horses in the movie, and they couldn't say the words action. They couldn't even say, what was it?
Rolling.
Rolling. They couldn't say any of those things because the horses knew them so well that they take off. So they said they had to dream up different words to use in place of those when they had the horses in the scene so that the horses wouldn't do something too soon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, most animals will learn, associate certain noises, certain verbiages with actions or with things like walk, you know, get your leash, whatever.
Yeah.
So,
have you seen The Artist?
Oh, it is a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
How about that dog? That dog is really cute. And he does a great job. He kind of makes the movie.
Yeah. He was at the Academy Awards when they announced the Best Picture.
Yeah.
And he was hamming it up on the stage a little bit there, and I thought, I want to see more of the dog. Forget the speeches. Let's see Uggy.
He was very cute, but the movie's wonderful.
Yeah. This is Focus, and this morning we're talking about dogs with Robin Haggard and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. This is a program we do once a month on the first Friday of the month. And listeners, you're invited to join us with questions about dog care, behavior, training. Join us with a phone call or by email. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455. The toll-free number, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL. Toll-free, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, last time the two of you here was just last month, and you were looking forward to watching the dog show.
Westminster.
Mm-hmm. What did you think? And remind me now who won?
It was a Pekingese.
Pekingese, yeah. That's right.
Not everybody's favorite. I've had most people have said, what'd you think of that? That wasn't even didn't even look like a dog.
And they're right.
Yeah, Pekes are not, you know, my favorite breed, but... he's evidently a good one. He's got a very illustrious show career behind him. I personally like the Doberman. I thought she was absolutely gorgeous. She won the working group, and she was owner breeder handled too, which Westminster has not had an owner breeder handler winner for ages. So it would have been nice to see her win.
Well, didn't a guy with an Afghan win several years ago? Owner breeder handle.
Many years ago now, yeah.
Well, they kept saying, oh, there's never been an owner-breeder.
Oh, no, there
handler.
Have been, but yeah. not
in the recent past.
Yeah, not a lot.
Let's go and take some more calls. Next, we go to Champaign, a listener on line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. My question relates back to what you were saying about loud noises.
Okay.
I have a dog that the Humane Society believes was... part Border Collie and part German Shepherd. And, for example, today, if I were up in my bed, he would be right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually looks like he's scared. So I'm wondering if you were saying that you think it's like a genetic...
Well, I think there's a genetic component to the what we call like a noise shyness or a noise aversion. But with storm shyness itself, as I say, it may have to do more with barometric pressure changes because it doesn't have to be lightning or thunder that sets some of the dogs off. It could be just, you know, when clouds come in and the pressure changes a lot. There's a lot of different things you can do to comfort dogs that have that issue. One is just finding a safe place for them, a place that they feel secure in, and for most dogs that's a crate like place.
I actually think my dog found his own spot, and mm-hmm. I just discovered it while I was listening to this program because I mm-hmm. went to feed him. I'm on the first floor of my house and I can't find him anywhere on the first floor, and mm-hmm. he comes trotting up the basement steps.
Yep. Yeah, they understand about tornadoes. Stay in the basement.
Yeah, well, we've actually gone down in the basement during tornado weather, and he's been down there with us, so maybe he remembered that, or maybe he just feels safe down there.
Yeah,
there's a product that seems to help a lot of dogs, and it's a kind of a tight coat that you wrap around the dog.
Oh, Thundercoat.
Thundercoat. Aptly named.
Yeah. I think they take it from Temple Grandin, you know, discovered mm-hmm. that a lot of people with problems, anxiety
autism.
Problems,
mm-hmm.
if they had something tightly wrapped around mm-hmm. them that made them feel secure. And they're taking this concept to dogs, and now they're selling a product called a Thundercoat. The only person I know who's tried one is someone with a poodle that has anxiety issues, and it didn't seem to help her.
Mm.
Now, you know, that's one case, so you don't know. But
my dog does get scared with the loud noises, the thunder and stuff, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a storm. He gets, if a big loud truck comes barreling down our street, it seems to frighten him. If somebody just raises their voice in our house, it seems to mm-hmm. give him kind of a jolt.
There are other products that kind of behaviorally handle that, and there are CD discs that have noises that are very soft and gradually become louder. And
their
instructions
kind of
on how to get them used to it, and you reward
them
at certain stages. I don't know anyone who's ever tried one of those. As I said, we haven't really had the problem except with this one dog. And I don't think Malamutes in general have the problem. And even Spike isn't like the shepherd we had. Spike just doesn't like it, and he's happier in the basement.
Dogs like yours that will just, you know, if something bothers them, like the storm, they'll go to the basement and feel secure. They're not usually an issue. The dogs that have become issues are the dogs that become destructive.
He's not destructive.
That tear things apart because of their anxiety. And for those dogs, vets will prescribe some drugs or there's things on the market like Composure, like the Rescue Remedy, things like that that'll help lower their anxiety level.
This dog that I have now will occasionally, especially if he's outside, and I have a neighbor who has a couple of dogs that look like they're in the shepherd breeds, they're even worse. But this dog will occasionally, when he's outside, if the ambulance sounds or a police car goes by, start howling.
Yeah, that's very normal. Dogs react to the pitch of the sirens. And a friend of mine, every first Tuesday when they test the sirens, she has to keep her dogs in, otherwise her neighbors complain. So,
yeah, the two down the house from me, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Those two together, they're pretty loud.
Yeah. So if you live near a fire station and you have a dog, you're likely to have them howl a lot.
There's a place called Wolf Park over in near Lafayette, Indiana, and they have a wolf colony there. And for years, I don't know if they do it anymore. They still do it, I think, Friday nights. You can go out there in the evening, and they have a wolf.
They have a howl night, they call it.
A howl night.
Yeah, they'll get them all
to howl. That
would
be awesome.
Yeah.
And these are real wolves howling.
Yeah.
So, I've never been there, but it always wanted to go.
Our dogs will chorus, and the Malamutes howl more than they bark, so ours will chorus, and especially they like to chorus when I'm on the phone. I have not figured out why, but if I happen to be on the phone,
I'm on the phone.
Yeah, they're not even in the room with me, but somehow they sense she can't correct us.
The last thing that I have to say is that I heard about that report about border collies. I think the laboratory was in Austria. I'm not sure, but. My dog's part border collie, and I feel like he can learn like almost any word that we bother. We're kind of lazy to teach him to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So, like even like his chew toys and all of that stuff, we have a different word for every one. And if he has three or four lying around, and you tell him to go get the pig ear, he finds it and brings it back.
Yeah, that's what this. There's at least two border collies that I know of. One was in Germany, and the other one I think is in England. But both of them knew over 1,000 words. And the one, and this was on a Nova or a Nature, and I can't remember which one it was now. But they took toys that the dog had never seen before, and they put them amongst the toys that it knew, and they said go get, and they gave it a new name to go get. And it figured out that, I don't know this, so it must be this toy that I haven't seen
That's
before.
Amazing, yeah.
And so the dog is, you know, they're capable of a lot more than it's like our own brains. We don't tax them very much, and so our own dogs we don't tax very much either. But it's fun to watch
very
them.
Interesting.
Learn. It's fun to watch that light bulb go on where they. Oh,
it is. I mean, he's like eight years old now, and he still can just. I can teach him a word. Like by the end of the day, he's got it.
Yeah.
So old dogs can learn new tricks.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for the call. Next, we go to Tuscola, line two, waiting for us there in Tuscola. Good afternoon or good morning.
Good morning. A little off the subject of storms, but growing up as a kid, we had German Shepherds, and we had two that were littermates. And from puppy all the way to adult, whenever we had a dune buggy, and we put the dogs in the dune buggy with us, and that's how it started. When we drove underneath of an overpass, the dogs would duck. And just like they were going underneath of a low bridge, even though the overhead was way above them, every time you drove underneath of an overpass, both dogs would squat and duck down. I just thought it was kind of funny.
Well,
I didn't know what would cause that.
The dogs, wolves, animals aren't used to things moving faster than normally a few miles an hour. And, the dune buggies, probably you're going probably 15 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour. So the dog can see the tunnel coming up, but it comes up awfully fast, you know, relative to what they may be used to.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of an odd behavior. I just wanted to chime in with
that. Once they learned to duck, probably then every time you went through, they'd duck.
Yeah.
Also, their eyes, relative to ours, are on the top of their head. You know, so they can see straight up without moving their head back too far. So
right.
they can see the tunnel coming up in a different way from what we see. So those things could have played. But I think once they learned to duck, then every other time they sure would duck, even though it didn't matter.
Just driving down the road in the car after that, you'd put them in the car and take them somewhere with you. And if they see an overhead coming up, they'd duck every single time. It was just cute.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I wanted.
All right,
Thanks.
Thanks for the call.
Dogs always do strange things, you know. And people say, why does my dog do this? I go, I don't know.
They amuse us no end, which is one reason why we keep them.
Let's take another call. This is a listener in Urbana, line 3. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Speaking of intelligent dogs, I've been a Sheltie owner my whole life. We have a Sheltie who's approaching 14 years.
Oh, wow.
And I would never, I think, consider another breed. So I'm wondering if you know or could suggest a good local Sheltie breeder.
Offhand, I don't know anyone anymore in this area, but two places to go look, and that is online, go to a Sheltie Rescue. Most breeds have rescue organizations that are either state or can be regionally set up. Like our Malamute has a rescue in the Chicago area for the whole state of Illinois. But then there's a group in St. Louis that also does rescue for Malamute. So, but if you go online and you just Google Sheltie Rescue, you will find some rescue organizations. The other place to start would be AKC has a website for breeders lists that the club, the National Shetland Sheepdog Club, would have given them of breeders who at least belong to their national club, which means they have to ascribe to a certain code of ethics, things like that. So, you know,
At one time, I thought there might have been a breeder in Seymour. Do you know anything about that?
No, there was an excellent breeder over in the Peoria area, Doc Harler, years ago. But I think he passed away, and I'm not sure that his children are still breeding. But with Shelties in particular, and it is a wonderful breed, but they do have a shyness problem. So it's very important when you go get a Sheltie that you check out the parents, check out the socialization of the puppies, and make sure that you're getting a stable one. Because there's nothing nicer than a stable Sheltie. They're very smart.
They're
biddable dogs, yeah.
Yeah, they're wonderful. Do you know, we have always had, I guess you'd say the runt of the litter, that we've always had a small Sheltie. Are there such things as miniature Sheltie?
No, nothing that is
recognized.
No,
yeah.
Not like there's a mini Australian Shepherd, which is a separate breed from the regular sized Australian Shepherd. But in Shetland Sheepdogs, there's nothing that I know of that says
they are the minis already.
They're related to Collies, but they're not really miniature.
Now we're back. We were superseded there by that announcement from the National Weather Service, and let's go back and see if we still have our listener on line 3. Are you there? No. Okay. So anyway, let me just repeat what we just heard there. The National Weather Service in Lincoln has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for northwestern Clark County, eastern Coles County, and Edgar County in east central Illinois until noon today. In addition, until 6 p.m. this evening, we have a tornado watch in effect, and in the WILL severe weather coverage area, the following counties are included in this tornado watch: Champaign, Coles, Douglas, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, and Vermilion. And this afternoon, it is supposed to become quite windy, so at 2 o'clock this afternoon, a wind advisory kicks in. It will be in effect from 2 p.m. this afternoon to 8 p.m. this evening. So the weather is something we want to pay attention to today, but it's kind of startling when you get bumped there by that device.
My attitude is always, Robin says when there's bad weather, oh, turn on the radio and see if there's a tornado coming our way. And I always say, if a tornado hits us, we'll be the first to know. Mm. The radio isn't going to tell us.
Well, if you're aware of the possibility.
Yes, you can be in the basement.
And if you're aware that a severe storm has been sighted and is heading your way, you can head downstairs with Spike.
Sure, take Robin's side.
Always.
Speaking of shelties, I did remember there is a local person that they don't have many litters, so I don't know that they would have any, and I really shouldn't say their name on the air, but if you wanted to email me, I'm at I can give my email address. The caller with the Sheltie question could email me directly, and I'd be happy to give her that name. My email is Haggard, H-A-G-G-A-R-D, at illinois.edu. As I say, these people are local, so they could give you probably other breeders that they know, be more of a resource rather than having litters themselves.
Mm-hmm. And in the case of rescue dogs, how do you size up a dog's personality in that situation?
Well, the nice thing about breed rescue organizations is they know their breeds. Okay, so they do an initial evaluation of the dog, both the temperament for the problems that the breeds have. So they know, like for instance with Malamutes, who can be dog aggressive, they will check out and see, is this dog aggressive to cats? Is it, you know, good with children? Is it aggressive with other dogs, same sex, you know, dogs, whatever. So they do an initial evaluation, so they know what the temperament pretty much of the dog is, and they won't place a dog unless they are reasonably secure that the dog's temperament is good. So they do a good screening of their own breeds. So from a breed rescue organization, you can usually count on getting a good temperament, and they screen for health. If the dog's not healthy, you know, they won't adopt it out. Some rescues, like we have what's called a Golden Age Alaskan Malamute Rescue up in Michigan, and they take old dogs. So if, you know, if a dog's 10 or 11 years old and isn't considered adoptable, they'll take those dogs and have them live out a normal lifespan, whatever that might be, so that they are not put down prematurely just because they're older. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of
I appreciate that.
Yeah, the older we get,
as I get older.
Well, don't forget, we can learn new tricks.
Exactly.
So. Always.
And the old ones, at least, I think the old ones have a certain personality that is very cute. Anyway, it's like, I'm old, I deserve this. And so they kind of have their own agenda as they get older. But so breed rescue organizations are a good screening ground. Shelters, humane shelters, do a good job too, but they're not as breed specific. And the pressure on them in terms of the amount of dogs they get in and certain preconceptions about certain breeds. Mm-hmm. And so I think you get a little narrower, a little better evaluation from a breed rescue than you do necessarily from a all-breed humane society or a county's shelter. Not that those places are good, too. It's just that...
And they have volunteers come in and they do a lot of socialization with the animals.
Years ago, our club had a working arrangement with the Humane Society here where we go and walk dogs and help train dogs. So the dogs that might not be as adoptable because they were so frantic would be worked with a little bit and make them more adoptable. Mm-hmm. So...
This is Focus. This morning we're talking with dog trainers Robin Haggard and Jim Keel about dogs. And listeners, you're invited to join us with a phone call or by email, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. The email address, will-talk@illinois.edu. More after a short break.
Frank Calabrese Jr. was groomed for the mob at an early age. He remembers his father, part of a murderous Chicago crime outfit, telling him they'd killed somebody.
And I'm thinking, is this what other kids hear when their father comes home from work?
Frank Jr. later helped the FBI bring down the organization. On the next Fresh Air, Frank Calabrese Jr. His book is Operation Family Secret. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 and this evening at 7 on AM 580.
Support comes from The Music Shop, celebrating 51 years of service to music education, now offering private lesson instruction for students of all ages. They also feature guitars, amplifiers, digital pianos, software, and sound equipment in the Pro Sound Center at 27 East Market View Drive in Market View Plaza, Champaign, or at themusicshop.com.
This is Focus from Illinois Public Media on WILL Radio and online at will.illinois.edu. I'm Celeste Quinn, Jason Croft, our technical director. And we're talking this morning with dog trainers Robin Haggard and Jim Keel. Listeners, we'd love to hear from you this morning. If you've got questions, comments about dogs, if you'd like to share a story with us, we'd love to hear from you. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, will-talk@illinois.edu, the email address. So let's take a call now from a listener in Mahomet. Line one, hi.
Hi. I have a cabin in southern Illinois, and I'd like to go down there and stay overnight. However, I need some protection because I've been down at the cabin late in the afternoon, and I have sometimes people come in there that are drunk, and I feel very uneasy, and I, you know, if it would occur late at night, I think I'd, you know, be sort of fearful of staying in the cabin. So I like your suggestion as to what breed of dog I might have as a guard dog. I wouldn't want it to have it so vicious that it might cause injury to the trespassers. And then what kind of breed would that be? And then also, would you suggest I get a puppy or a more mature dog? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, wait. Yeah. Have you ever had a dog before?
As a kid, I did.
Okay. And
yeah, a lot depends upon your own lifestyle, because the dog isn't just going to be your companion down there at the cabin. It's going to be in your home, in your life, you know, 24/7.
Right.
So you need to make sure that it's an animal that you like. And one way to make sure that a dog is going to be guarding is to have that bond with that dog.
Yes,
so that the dog cares about you.
Oh, yes, of course.
And not just for its own safety, but for your safety as well.
Right.
So, you know, a lot depends on your lifestyle. If you're, you know, basically retired or home or have a lot of time to devote to a dog, then, you know, some breeds are better than others for that. If you're a working person and so you're gone, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, so
yes,
the dog would be alone a large portion of the time, then, you know, that's another breed thing to look at or characteristic, so that the dog is comfortable being by itself that number of hours a day.
Okay.
Puppy versus adult, it really doesn't matter. Adults will bond you just the same as a puppy will. There's a couple of things with puppies, of course. It's like having a toddler in your home.
Yeah.
You know, if you value anything, put it out of reach.
Yeah.
They have to be watched to potty train and to learn the house rules and all of that. Whereas an adult dog comes in usually, and that isn't 100%, but usually they're easier to house train or may already be house trained.
And are they as easy to train? We always got puppies and raised them as puppies, you know, through, but I never had a mature dog. So
yeah,
are they as easy to train to be a sort of a guard dog as...
You don't really train guard dogs necessarily. Dogs come with the guarding instinct. Our breed, for instance, Malamutes, have almost zero guarding instinct because they were bred by a nomadic people that you know, they were passed from person to person. So they don't have a great deal of loyalty. Whereas a breed like a Rottweiler or German Shepherd, those breeds were bred to be guarding in nature and be more one family, one person type dogs. All dogs will have certain guarding features. Like our dogs don't guard most things, but they will guard children.
Mm-hmm.
We've had instances where our dogs would get between a parent and a child, and if the parent was yelling at the kid, the dog would get between them like, nope. It's my child. You can't touch it.
Yeah.
So they do. They will. Even our breed will guard occasionally. So it's not something you really train. It's more of an instinct that the dog has that you can develop more highly.
The other thing is you're worried about liability if the dog should attack someone.
Yeah.
For the most part, you don't need a guard dog for what you want. I think. It's like a golden retriever, a very intelligent dog, learns very well, very loyal, but a large dog.
Yes.
And if some intoxicated person comes by,
they're
likely not to bother you when they see the large dog. The dog doesn't have to be a guard dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
We lived in Chicago for a couple of years, and we walked around with the Malamutes, and people literally would cross the street rather than walk by us.
Yeah.
Okay.
And these are the nicest, friendliest dogs in the world.
And if someone came up to me on the street and said, can I pet your dog when we were in Chicago, you know, or is your dog friendly, I would say, you know, I would hold out to their leash so that they couldn't jump on the person, and they weren't ever sure whether they were going to jump on them to bite them or to love on them. So
you really think it's the size of the dog that's really important.
Oh, yes. Yes,
size or barking ability.
Golden retrievers.
But some dogs, for instance, a lot of the herding breeds there again, like the Belgian breeds,
Malinois,
but Turves.
Turf.
Those breeds, and most of the herding breeds do have. Some guarding instinct, plus they bark. They were bred to bark.
Like the Australian Shepherd?
Australian Shepherd.
Okay.
And those are hardy dogs that might do well, too, in terms of taking them down to a place where you're going to be running around outside.
Yeah, right. A guard is a guard. It's like a night watchman. They're not necessarily armed. They're not necessarily going to attack somebody.
Okay.
Their job is to alert you to possible danger, and they do that by barking.
And that also alerts the person coming in that there's a dog there that may or may not be friendly, and they don't know, so they're likely to stay away.
You mentioned several breeds now. You mentioned Rottweiler and German Shepherd. Mm-hmm.
Those are more guard dogs,
traditional,
but those traditionally are trained to attack and protect.
Well, most police dogs now that are used by law enforcement and drug enforcement and border patrol are Belgian Malinois.
But I am concerned about liability. So
right, and I wouldn't recommend for your purposes. I wouldn't recommend some of these breeds because they are more reactive, and so may take things to a level that you don't really want.
Yeah,
I would look for a dog that tends to be loyal, wants to be with you versus just. Generally person friendly with everyone.
Yeah.
And a dog that that will bark and alert you that someone's coming. Typically if you aren't sure, if you have the dog on leash or by the collar, even if the dog's very friendly, it's going to be kind of scrambling to get to the person, and they're not sure whether the dog's friendly or not, so they're likely to kind of stay in their car or back off.
Okay.
So you can present a dog that's perfectly friendly as not so friendly just by the way you behave.
And the Golden is a good all-around dog.
I really appreciate your suggestion.
Yeah. Labs.
Yes.
If you go to the shelter and look for an adult dog, especially if you're not in a position to want to potty train and deal with puppies.
Yes.
But a lot of the shelter personnel will be able to help you, look for dogs that have particular qualities like
that. Okay.
I really
appreciate your suggestion.
Sure.
Sure. Well, I wish you luck, and what a lovely thing
but
to
definitely pick
get a dog and have a companion.
Pick a dog that you like. And
be careful.
Not just for the reason for the protective.
Southern system. Illinois has disease-carrying ticks, so be very careful down there for yourself as well as any animals or friends.
Yeah. Okay, let's take another call. Listener in Urbana, line two. Hi.
Hello. I was going to recommend the Labrador. I used to have one years ago. He turned into an excellent stock dog, but when any person would come to the house and no one was home, he'd walk up to the front door with them, and then he'd position himself right between the house and the door, and no growling, no threatening, but it was perfectly obvious. From what I've been told, we never saw this, of course, but our friends said it was obvious. No one was going in that house until we came home.
Well, Lab is another good suggestion for his what he wanted, but it's also a retriever, as a Golden is.
Yes, they do have the bad habit of always wanting to carry something in the mouth.
Yeah. I think it's cute.
Yeah. But a lot of dogs, and really the best characteristic about a dog that you want is a dog that does watch your reaction to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're uncomfortable with the person, the dog is going to be uncomfortable with the person. And that's really, they take their cues from you. If you greet the person as a friend, they're going to say, oh, no problem. But years ago, my German Shepherd was like that. You know, if I said the person was okay, the dog was fine with them. But if I was uneasy or insecure or didn't really give the dog a good signal, he'd stay between me and the other person, just watching, just making sure that nothing was going to happen. Whereas our Malamutes will bound into any stranger's arms and say, hi, how are you? Knocking them over in the process, but nevertheless.
But if they became a threat to you, they would defend you.
The Malamutes, not so
much. When we were in Chicago, I was walking down an alley, and a guy had just been mugged, and he was kind of staggering around, and old Brett went out to the end of the lead and growled at him and said, stay back, and the guy left us alone.
The other dog that is an excellent guard dog and watchdog, but I don't recommend it generally, is a Border Collie. They're a high-maintenance dog. You really need to be in the home or be able to take them with you most of the day.
My own personal prejudice on that is an Australian Shepherd is the same kind of dog, but they're a lot less neurotic. No offense to my BC friends.
Well, borders require just a lot of exercise and entertainment, and that isn't easy especially for a working person. If you're retired, you know, and have the time to devote to, you know, giving your dog several hours a day of exercise, then a Border Collie's a great dog.
That's exactly it. They're very high maintenance, but they're very intelligent, and they're going to make a lot of noise if somebody's where they shouldn't be. And actually, they're probably as capable of defending you as a German Shepherd. They're so fast. They're so quick and agile.
And I think for this gentleman's purposes, a dog that's barking is sufficient. They don't have to be barking because they're mad at you. They can be barking because they're happy.
Yeah.
Or just to say hello. And that'll solve his problem.
Just to say there's someone there, pay attention.
My best Border Collie, when a stranger came in, wouldn't get between me and the stranger. It would be right behind my knee watching. And she was absolutely not going to do anything until she was told to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was also worried about liability, and that's a good characteristic right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want your dog biting something.
Golden Retrievers, Labradors, and such are really great dogs
and
for the purpose.
It's picking the one that's got the personality that's right for you, you know, because the dog isn't just, as I said, for this guarding purpose. It's going to be a companion for the rest of its life.
Yeah, and it comes home and wants to watch TV like everyone else. So you're not just getting a guard dog.
You're getting a lifelong friend.
A companion.
Yes. This is Focus, and we're talking this morning about dogs with dog trainers Robin Haggard and Jim Keel. We've got a few minutes remaining in this in this portion of the program today. So if you'd like to join us with a phone call or by email, go ahead and do so. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free, 800-222-9455. And the email address, will-talk@illinois.edu, will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, somebody called in and said, well, is there a difference between a guard dog and a watchdog?
Well, these are ill-defined terms.
Yes, yeah,
I think what people generally think a guard dog is an attack dog, which is not necessarily the case. A guard dog is a dog that alerts and barks. And we try to tell people if they have a barking dog, how do I stop my dog from barking? Because they've been yelling at them when people go by or people come to the door. I say, well, that's the dog's job is to bark. So instead of yelling or telling them to be quiet, praise them. Say, thank you very much for doing your job, you know, and then give them a treat and say, okay, calm down. Everything's okay. A guard dog is a dog that guards. A dog that attacks should only be used by the military or police. Individuals that have that train their dogs to attack usually have the civil liability, I think, that the gentleman was referring to. Most people, it's not that hard to teach a dog to attack. What's hard is teaching them not to attack or to let go once they've started. That really takes a experienced trainer. And I know I couldn't do that. I've been training in obedience for years, but I never would venture into that area.
Yeah.
I have no experience and, well, no desire for one thing, but it's a tough, the people that do it are very good trainers and in that particular area, and you just can't do it out of a book or, gee, I need protection. I remember years ago we had a woman in one of the classes with a shepherd that bit her, and she thought that was what a good guard dog did. And I said, no, that's not what a good guard dog does. Let's talk about this.
Let's work on that, yeah. So before we run out of time, I want to check in with the two of you about the dog training club and what's coming up in the near future.
All our spring stuff is coming up.
Yeah. We've got a match, an all-breed fun match for obedience and for rally obedience coming up on March 10th, and it's open to the public. You enter the day you come. So if anybody wants to do run-throughs for any kind of obedience or rally obedience, that's happening at the Dog Training Club on March 10th. If you want more details, you could go to our website and check out the events.
DTCCU, Dog Training Club, Champaign-Urbana, .net, not .com or org, .net.
.net. And then at the later on in March is our tracking test, which is at Kennecuck this time.
Boy, I don't know.
Yeah, there again, our events will tell you if you're interested in tracking. This is dogs following a human scent, and it's an AKC event. It's not associated with man trailing or something like that. It's a different sport. And then the end of April, the Dog Training Club has our agility trial, a spring agility trial, and also The Kennel Club will be having its all-breed show in association with the Decatur and the Mattoon Kennel Clubs over at the Farm Progress show site in Decatur.
In Decatur.
And that's the last weekend in April. And with the new buildings at the Farm Progress Center, everything will be inside. So we'll be out of the wind. The last 2 years we've been carried away by 45-mile-an-hour winds. This year, everything will be inside.
That's nice, and also out of the if it rains.
Yes, out of the weather.
We've got one last question here that's come in by email, and so let's get to this before we're out of time. I have a behavior question. This person has two small dogs. They generally get along. The pug is older and was dominant for years, but eventually, my male, and you'll have to forgive me here. You'll correct me. Karen Terrier. Mm-hmm. Got tired of being pushed around. They had bad fights for years and never seemed to resolve who was dominant. I am definitely the alpha in this pack, but we have to watch them, especially when other animals are around. The Karen will kiss the pug at times. and seems to let her be boss usually, but other times he takes the lead. What gives?
It's fairly typical behavior. Usually the resident dog, when you bring a new dog in, will be the dominant for at least some period of time. It sounds like they're two different sexes, which is the ideal. In most breeds, same-sex relationships can deteriorate over time, especially if you bring a puppy in. At some point, it's going to challenge the adult. But if they're a male-female pair, usually they'll get along. But things like toys or food or people may cause jealousy issues. And so things like that, you need to be cognizant of what could trigger an argument and either separate them preemptively or just keep a better eye on them. And if you're truly the alpha, then usually if you can see the situation starting, you can stop it by just simply saying, you know, watch out. You know,
if the male is not neutered, neutering will help a great deal.
Yeah, I was going to say, neutering. Spaying with females doesn't necessarily lower aggression. I think it has some effect on that myself, but the science so far does not say, does not support that. It's probably more of an individual
thing. We'll have to leave it there. Okay. We're out of time for this month, but we'll see. Some of you, all of you, next month in April on the first Friday of the month. My thanks this morning to dog trainers Jim Keel and Robin Haggard of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana.